We are very happy right now to be joined in studio by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. His appearances on the show are brought to you by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center and by GEHA. GEHA is a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holthus, normally...
Well read, man. That's well read.
Yeah, normally, Mitch, you have the stats. Let me give you a stat. Did you know the Chiefs have won 9 games in a row? 8 of those 9 wins have been one-score games.
It's everybody. I've had texts today. Of course, I think I put a head on a pillow at 4 a.m., so it's been a little bit of sleep deprivation, but head on a pillow not long. But everybody's saying, God, can we just win by 2 scores one of these times? Or it's getting interesting, but different ways to win with the winning them. The fact that this is the first, there's been, 8 previous back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Only one other one started 3-0, and it was the 49ers in 1990. They ended up going 15-1. They lost to the Giants in the NFC Championship game because no team's ever made it to the Super Bowl for a third chance of all the 8 previous winners. But I find that interesting. Chiefs are only the second to start 3-0.
So my biggest takeaway from the game, and I'm just curious to get your thoughts on it, was this. I understand that these games are nerve-wracking, right? You're on the edge of your seat. You're going crazy.
Well, now we got cameras in here. Yeah. I got that GoPro camera up in the booth, you know? It'll have 700,000 views. I forget it's there, but then I'm terrified that it's there. Like, am I scratching? Am I, picking my nose or whatever? But here we are again. But, they can see how nervous I am up there.
The best thing that you can say about any team is they just figure out and find a way to win. And this team, every fourth quarter is going to be close. And they just constantly make one or two more plays. It's fourth and short. We all know what Atlanta wants to do. They do what you should do. They gave the ball to their best offensive player. Bijan Robinson, in my opinion, is one of the 5 best running backs in the National Football League, one of the best all-purpose players. Give the ball to him. Let him make a decision. Let him get a first down. And the Chiefs just continue to make one or two more plays than the opposition. That is a skill that I understand. Hey, I want to see the Chiefs win one of these games comfortably. I had the stat. In the NFL, the last 10 years, 62% of games are decided by one score. That means about 10 games of your season are going to be like that.
Well, so globally, looking at that game from a macro viewpoint with Bijan Robinson, and we've seen him be a beast, he can take a game over. I was shocked they didn't throw to him more because I think he's as much of a weapon in the passing game as he is running the ball. Get him in space. Tackle breaker, but to hold him on 16 carries to 31 yards is ridiculous. That dude, that you hold him down all day long. Now, their play call on the 4th-and-1 was a little weird, I thought. They're trying to go vertical. I mean, they didn't try to just plug it into the A gap. It is a play, and they're missing 2 offensive linemen, including their center, and maybe that was going into their play call, but they tried to go to the B or C gap, and that gave Bolton a chance to shoot through, and then he got some help from Chenault to finish it off, but all day long, they were defending him in the run game as good. I think only one other time. New Orleans defended him and gave him less yards in his young career, but that dude's a stud. I'm with you. And the fact that you held him down all day long is a great testimony and tip of the cap to this defense.
With the 3 starting running backs, they have had 51 carries for 111 yards so far through the first 3 games. Man, football is simple. Can you run the ball effectively? The Chiefs have run the ball effectively, I would say, in 2 of their 3 games, maybe didn't as well in the first game against the Ravens, and they have stopped the run in all of those games. If you do those things, you are going to find yourself in a position to win every single week.
Yeah, people say you have to throw the ball to win, and that's true, and you look at the metrics. But if you run the ball, you just completely wipe a team out. And if you prevent the run, like the Chiefs have really done now for a year and a half, then you cannot play this game one-handed. And so the Chiefs defensively have been able to do that. That and their ability to dig in when it matters the most. You get a stop at the 6 and a stop at the 11 in the fourth quarter on the road in the same game where you had 2 goal-to-go stops against Baltimore in week 1, that's ridiculous. You can go a whole season in the NFL with every team and not see that. And the Chiefs have done it in the first 3 weeks. It's, again, a great testimony to this defense and the way it's just it's and something I'm going to ask Coach Reed about tonight, because something we take for granted, CDOT, we think of toughness physically, but there's also a mental and emotional toughness with this defense. You know, always brag up the 2022 draft class. You'd hire every one of them. You'd work for every one of them. But they're just so tough, mental, emotional, and physical, that it permeates through this whole defense.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Going back to Rashee Rice, you know I'm big on snap counts, and I'm also target dot too. There is a line in Rashee Rice's career. They lost the game last year to Philadelphia, 21-17. In that game, Justin Watson had 11 targets. Since then, the Chiefs have had 9 regular season games. Rashee Rice has had double-digit targets in 5 of those games. When did you start to notice the shift? And he went from, to me, being a guy who could maybe be Chris Godwin, who I think is a really good wide receiver, maybe not like a true number one. I mean, right now, Rashee Rice is playing like an all-pro caliber player. He's playing like a guy who's worthy of being in the conversation of a top 10, top 15 wide receiver in the league. When did you start to notice that change, that shift with him?
At the Raiders. Crossing pattern. He turns the corner right in front of me and goes for a 29-yard touchdown, and it was an explosive play. Again, we like to think of explosive plays as vertical routes, you know, the 44-yarder to him in week two, or the one 35 yards to Worthy in week one. But when he caught the crosser against man-to-man against the Raiders in a tight game, a game that both teams needed to have, and he turned the corner, it was like, okay, this dude is there. Now, he's also learning. One of the things I asked Coach about tonight in the interview on Chiefs Kingdom Show is his growth in learning how to read defenses, which is becoming paramount with the way the Chiefs are being played again. Those safeties are good last night. Those are two old Wiley dudes, right? We've seen him before. Bates with Cincinnati and Justin Simmons played him for the 16th time last night. But they're back at 12 and backpedaling to 20 yards. But then they would do something post-snap. So the ability of Rashee Rice now to understand defenses and where they are, because many of these are choice routes, right? And he's got a decision to make based on where the defense is. And I just see him growing more and more and more. And of course, we know about his ability to break tackles. He's number one in the league at it with yards after catch. But his ability to grow in understanding and get into Pat's head and get Pat's confidence in Rashee's ability to read defenses is a big deal. And so if he stays healthy, he could have a big year.
We got to talk about two things. I know it's positive. It's a Red Monday, but you're there. You're around this team. I have to get your thoughts on it. This is certainly not the start people envision for Travis Kelce. What are you seeing? How have teams been able to kind of take him out of the offensive game plan?
Well, first of all, they try to, if he's on the line of scrimmage, even if he's in motion, Chiefs move him around some, but they just try to rough him up. There's somebody right there in the first two counts, and then there's somebody at least like right behind him or at about 5 to 7 yards, or they'll shade to him, maybe a half shade. So where everybody else is playing a game in like a 40-acre pasture, Kelce's playing the game in a garage, and he's surrounded by enemies in that garage. Now, he stayed patient. He's not getting upset that he's not getting targets and catches. Now, there were a couple he could have had last night, I think, the 3rd and 2. I just went back and reviewed the video this afternoon where Bates comes up and makes the play. I think Bates kind of, and Dana even mentioned this on the play-by-play, I think Bates surprised him, like where he was at. Like he was closer than maybe, that's the Wiley veteran showing you, hey, I'm off, and all of a sudden I'm on. But still, that's a catch that Kelce needs to yank down for 4 yards and get a first down. But for the most part, he's staying patient. And if Rice keeps blowing up, you're going to have to choose your poison. But right now, everybody's choosing to take Kelce out. It's the Lou Anarumo thing to do. It's what the Bills want to do and have done. So I really thought that Trav would have a big game, but Atlanta decided to do the same thing to him, even though they're unfamiliar with us.
This is the first time when watching Kelce in a while that I go into these games. Maybe this is me looking at it through a gambling perspective, a fantasy football perspective, looking at the box score and the numbers. I don't know what to expect from Travis Kelce. On Sunday against the Chargers, certainly a team you're familiar with, Travis Kelce could have 6 catches for 105 yards and look like the Travis Kelce of old. Or Travis Kelce could have 4 catches for 24 yards in this game. I can't remember the last time that we kind of went into a game where I don't know what you can expect. I know what to expect from Rashee Rice. He's basically done this for the last 3 months of games. We're in a really weird space, in my opinion, with Kelce, where I don't know what to do with his production right now or what it's going to be on a week-by-week basis.
Well, it depends. Again, I don't look at it from gambling. I can't. I'm prohibited and don't really want to. And I don't play fantasy football. That'd drive me crazy because I'd be up all night wanting to beat everybody on the earth. But I guess I just don't worry about it as much. I don't see Kels worrying about it. I don't see Andy or Patrick worrying about it. I just think it's going to happen organically. It could happen this week. Now, let me ask you this. I asked Matt McMullen this, too, on our podcast. And you're like Gen Z or a millennial guy. Do they still collect comic books? I mean, is it all digital now, or do I collect? I have collector's items, right?
I was never a comic book guy.
Never was?
No.
Know anybody that was?
Not really.
Had to be
really,
somebody at Missouri Southern. It's like Ralph down the...
I was really a baseball card, football card guy when I was a kid.
You and me both. But I mean, is Ralph down the dorm room? He's got all these comic books. The reason I'm saying that, you have these comic book villains for Patrick and for Kels. This week, honestly, Jesse Bates... I'm like, that's just the Bengals. And there's no, you know, Justin Simmons is a total Lex Luthor villain for Patrick Mahomes. He's intercepted Pat more times than anybody else ever. But Derwin James, to me, of the Chargers, is one of Kelce's big-time villains. This is Batman or Superman going up against the Joker. And Derwin James wants to play vicious. He wants to, like, get after Kelce. So I don't know if the Chargers are going to play cover two, back up the safeties. Derwin James doesn't want to do that. He wants to come in and, like, tear dudes up. And usually him and Kels have a nice little tussle going on. So that's a little bit of a game within a game that could dictate and maybe be part of your answer this week. But I know Kels will be ready for these guys.
Right now we're talking to the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Patrick Mahomes looks off. I can't fully explain why he looks off, and maybe it is just by his own incredible standard that he has set that he is the best quarterback in the world. It's not really close that you expect him to go out there every game and throw for 275, two touchdowns, and no interceptions. But, I mean, dating back to last year, he has thrown 18 interceptions in his 19 regular season starts. Now, in the postseason, it is like his brain just shifts, and he's like, I can't make this throw. I got to be more conservative. But, I mean, in these games, you kind of know once, maybe twice a game, Pat's going to give the defense a chance to make a play. Does he seem off to you? What are you seeing in the first three games of the season?
He missed some yesterday. There was one with Rice. They had a perfect play call. And they were moving Rice around last night a lot. It was great. They had a great scheme with him. But there's one where he starts in the slot, motions, and finds a void and kind of slices, and Pat just missed him. And there's another where Xavier Worthy runs the wrong route on the third and two where they're trying to run clock at the end. Well, that was on the receiver. I just still think it's maybe he's trying to still try to get used to these guys because, let's be honest, Worthy's a rookie and Rice is only in his second year. Now, he's had high productivity going back to what we just said, trying to get Juju Smith-Schuster up and run a little bit. So I think it's a matter of getting into a flow with these guys. But he's also missed a couple guys that are open. But again, I don't worry about it. I think just like the Kelce discussion with you, it's coming. And it'll hit. And he'll throw for 350 and four touchdowns. And it'll be just fine. The cool thing about Patrick, though, he's like Kelce. Teams are forcing. Are you going to be patient? They're just staring him down. Honestly. It's like the Falcons, all three of these opponents have just stared at him like, so what are you going to do? Are you going to get impatient? Are you going to get itchy? Are you going to make a mistake? Now then they'll throw him some stuff. That was a blitz on his interception. I didn't call the blitz on the play-by-play because it happened so fast, but going back and reviewing the video, the Chiefs didn't pick up that blitz. They did pick up the blitz because P. Ryan picked up the blitz on the touchdown to Rice, the first one. But the point is, I think it's just all a tick off, a tick here, a tick there. Sometimes it's on Pat, sometimes it's on the receiver. But I still see the clock ticking in the right direction, and it's going to come sooner than later.
Yeah, there were two of those throws that I thought he missed that, to me, changed the course of the game and maybe don't make it as nerve-wracking at the end. He had a crossing route to Rashee Rice. Mm-hmm. You could argue Rice dropped it. Maybe the ball was too high. It wasn't both players, I thought, messed up on it. On that third down, what did you see on that third down? Because it felt like Worthy was open and Rice was both open, but they were running in the same spot. They've kind of said, all right, I cut my route off so I could let him run through. What did you see on the Chiefs' last offensive play for the incompletion for them to punt the ball back to where they needed the defense to get a stop and get themselves off the field?
Yeah, that may be on Xavier, I think. And Pat called an audible. If you go back and watch the video, you'll see him calling an audible on the play because he saw Atlanta. And I don't think Atlanta deked him on this one. There were a couple times they did. Atlanta did a good job. There was a mind game, chess game. But I think Pat got this one right. I think Worthy somehow, either verbal or nonverbal communication, thought something was going to happen that didn't in the spacing. It's like basketball. You love the NBA. It's such a big deal to have spacing in the NBA. The spacing wasn't there, and the way Atlanta was playing their defense, spacing was paramount. And so it will be again this week against the Chargers.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's talk about Carson Steele. He gets his first start. I'm sure you've seen the video now at this point where Carson's family is at the wedding and they're watching it. A really cool moment. I did my Googles on him, and I saw that – so wait, you're telling me at Ball State you ran for 1,600 yards. All right, that's a mid-major. Let's see what you do. You transfer. You go to another level. You then run for almost 1,000 yards at UCLA. This wouldn't be a story if the Chiefs had drafted the lead, you know, a top-five rusher in the Pac-12 last season in the fourth round, and the guy goes on to be a productive NFL player. But because he was undrafted, it's like, oh, this guy came out of nowhere, like – no, he played major college football last year. He was a good player last year. I never worried about his ability to step in for Isaiah Pacheco. He did, and he and Piron did exactly what this offense needed. You needed those guys to get you around 100 yards from scrimmage. That is exactly what you got from those two guys. You mentioned the Bijan Robinson. The Chiefs outran the Atlanta Falcons. I would have told you that that's the formula to the Chiefs winning this game.
No question. Now, in the case, obviously his sister didn't think he was going to make it either, although she wouldn't have kept her wedding date on that third week of the NFL season. She thought, you know, he's going to be cut or practice squad or he'll be able to be at the wedding. So I found that humorous. Like, God, we didn't think he's going to make it. I think when you look at people, they get in love with 40 times, and in many cases you should, but it depends on what you want a player to be. Pacheco's not busting a 4-2-1 like Xavier Worthy, and nor is Carson Steele. He's about a 4-6-5. But you don't need Carson Steele to be 4-2-1. You need Carson Steele to do exactly what he's doing. His pad level, tough, 6-yard burst. He's not going to run away from anybody, probably not. But that's not what the Chiefs need here. What they need is exactly what they're getting. And he's smart and tough, and he's catching on to the offense. I would tell you, though, the Piran pickup – I did a whole minute with Mitch on it 2 weeks ago on Channel 41 and the other markets it's on, where I just said this was such a big pickup by Brett Veach. At the time, it looked like a luxury. Now it's a necessity. And I also told you, I think, last week that it's just going to be an algebraic equation. Look at Andy Reid's ingenuity and how he got runs that aren't runs but look like they end up being like runs, but they're not runs, whether it's the end around or the short passes or the bubble screen or Rashee Rice in the backfield running the ball on a regular running play. And Ingram's going to get some love here pretty soon, and we'll see what Kareem Hunt can do down the road. But the point is, it's going to take all of this. But you got exactly what you needed at a steal. I think he's going to give you that every week. He just has to stay healthy. He took some shots last night, but the guy is so incredibly strong. That's the other thing to look at is, okay, he's not going to be a 4-4 guy, but look how strong he is. Like his measurables in what he does in the weight room are off the chart. He made that one guy's freak list. Bink would know, but the point is like Ralph, you know, Cramden's freak list, and this guy's a freak. So he's a little bit of a freak, but he's perfect for what the Chiefs need and want.
So Denny Matthews was on the show earlier today, and the thing I've learned from him most in his appearances coming on over the years is the great ones adjust to the adjusting. I would say what I've learned most from you when your time's coming on the show is you were on Team Take the Points. And early on, I was the new school analytic. You got to go for it on fourth down. You got to go with what the percentages say. I've kind of come around to your side over the course of the last couple of years. I'm on team take the points. You can't go broke taking a profit. And the one, I know it upsets fans and they want you to be aggressive and go for it on fourth down. That's not the way the NFL. I think people still think the league is 31, 35. This is a 24 to 27 league right now. And you're only going to touch the ball 8 to 9 times. If you're telling me every time you touch the ball, if you're getting 3 to 7 points and you can score in that range, you got a chance to win. I'm starting to come around to your side, and I'm starting to be on team take the points.
Well, it's been proven now over 2 years, too many games are being lost by people doing crazy things. Let's just take the Falcons. You're Raheem Morris. 4th and 5, okay, at the 6. You kick 3 there. You still have 3 timeouts and gobs of time. And now you're down 2. A field goal wins the game. They go for it. Now they're still down a touchdown. They get it back. You could have won the game on a field goal when you got down to the 11. That's assuming you're going to stop the Chiefs. But what's saying you're not going to stop the Chiefs? And this is going to sound arrogant. I do not want it to sound arrogant. But the Chiefs right now, and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, are in people's heads. They're living rent-free in these opponents' heads because I've seen teams and coaches make decisions they don't normally make to thinking this is what I have to do to beat the Chiefs. Whereas if they just think of what we need to do to win against any opponent, they'd be much better off. I think the division has been that way, and how they put together their teams and the moves they've made is to chase the Chiefs. Well, just build your own team. I think that's what Harbaugh is trying to do with the Chargers. But these coaches now, last night, I mean, the biggest argument, if you're a Falcon fan here, is to kick 2 field goals and win 23-22. There's more of probability of that than making 4th and 5 at the 6.
Right now, we got Mitch Holthus in studio for a couple more minutes here. We got Chiefs Kingdom coming up later today. We got Mitch and Mitch, two of my favorite people. I love Mitchell Shorts. I'm excited that you guys have him on Chiefs Kingdom.
Well, he's so cerebral. He's fun. He's got his own little sense of humor, right? But it's fun to have him on tonight because we're going to dive into the offensive line. I thought Wanya Morris did a really good job, probably his best game of his 5 starts of his career. And think of the gauntlet he had to play last year in weeks 14 through 17 because it was Von Miller, it was Hendrickson, it was Max Crosby, all the dudes. It also shows you not all edge rushers are the same because Trey Hendrickson, I just covered that last week, was messing with Kingsley Suamaitia. I don't know if Bosa is going to play this week, but Khalil Mack will. And so that makes
I don't know if Herbert's going to play for the Chargers.
I don't know if Ault will. I don't know if Slater will. I mean, that thing was a street fight yesterday. But I was going to bring up to you what Jim Harbaugh is clearly wanting to do. Now, let's be honest. Jim and John Harbaugh are very different brothers. This is like stepbrothers and Will Ferrell and what's his name? I'm blanking out. But they're two very, very different dudes. But I think Jim Harbaugh is trying to bring to the AFC West what John Harbaugh did with the Ravens to the AFC East. And that is, we're just going to beat you up. That's the way they're playing. And that game with Pittsburgh was a street fight. And there was just casualties all over the place on both sides. Just wait till the Wednesday injury report comes out for the Chargers.
There's going to be a lot of people on there.
There's going to be on there. It'll be close to double digits on that list. But that's the way they've decided to play. That's the way Jim Harbaugh, I think, wants to come to the AFC West and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to beat you up. And they went and got dudes that play that way. They already have dudes that play that way. And on offense, they want to do that because they're bringing J.K. Dobbins, a little bit of Gus Edwards at you, some play pass. But it's going to be physical, and we're just going to hit you. What are you going to do about it? And that's the way the Chargers are playing.
That is our guy, Mitch Holthus, joining us in studio. His appearances are presented by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center, and by GEHA. They are a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Tonight, the Chiefs Kingdom Show. Mitch Holthus, Mitch Schwartz, two of my favorite people. Coming
up, Shawnee, by the way, I put out mission on my first tweet this morning, and it was sleep deprivation. We're at Shawnee Hy-Vee. Shawnee.
All right, come out to the Shawnee Hy-Vee later today. Coming up on the other side, I am becoming an old guy. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You know what? I am changing. If I can change and you can change, then we all can change. Not that long ago, you know what I was? I was a teams need to be more aggressive on fourth down. It'd be fourth and two, fourth and three. Teams would punt. Teams would take field goals. Check the math. Check the analytics. You have to go for it. The smart play is going for it. You know what I've learned as we have these conversations? We see the teams that are hyper-aggressive in these scenarios. It doesn't seem to work out for those teams. Where there is conventional wisdom, there is a by-the-book mentality, and usually when you play it by the by-the-book mentality, it normally ends up being in your favor. I bring that up with the Chiefs. Because yesterday, the Chiefs kicked another short field goal. And I'm watching social media. My texts are blowing up. Why doesn't Andy go for it? I want Andy to be more aggressive. Why don't they go for it? I don't know if they should be going for it in these scenarios. You know what side I'm starting to be on? Man, I'm starting to be on the side of you can't go broke taking a profit. That's the side that I'm starting to be on. Where I think what has happened is people still have a 2011 mentality or 2019 mentality. That's not the way offense is right now in the National Football League. I ask you guys this question, Rob. You don't have the answer to this. Do you know right now what the average point scored in the National Football League is for a team? So right now, 16th. I know it's early on in the season, but it's warm. We haven't even got to the cold weather yet where the game just changes. Do you know right now what is 16th? You are the average offense in the league. Do you know how many points that is today?
My guess would be like 16?
19.3. Oof. That's the average. There's only two teams right now that are averaging 30 points per game. Over half the league right now is averaging less than 21 points per game. If you were thinking that you need 30 points to beat people, that's not accurate anymore. And that includes Kansas City. It used to be, well, you got to outscore the Chiefs. You got to beat them 35-31. No, you don't. You got to beat the Chiefs 24-21. You got to beat the Chiefs 21-17. The Chiefs aren't getting the 30 points. Sure, we can play the well if they were better. Of course, yes. But I think the evidence is pretty firmly starting to be on the take the points. You get a finite number of possessions. And if you get a chance to score on that possession, take it. Now, obviously, there are exceptions to the rule. Sometimes you got to go for it. Sometimes you are in a no man's land. But if you're a team like Kansas City that trusts its kicker, and you feel anytime you cross the 40-yard line, you got a guaranteed 3 points, I'm not sure if the juice is worth the squeeze early on in the games to go for it. And now you're chasing those points that you should have had. I think Andy realized this shift pretty early on and is now at the forefront of this. Just take points. Patrick's going to get the ball 7-8 times. We're going to take points every single time we get the opportunity. I don't even think he's thought about going for it in those scenarios. Where there was a time where I was, hey, anytime the Chiefs have a 25-yard field goal, they have made a mistake. Every time they got a 19-yard field goal and it's 4th and 1, you need to go for it. No, you need to take the points. And yes, it is going to upset Twitter. It's going to upset social media. The computers are going to hate the fact that the Chiefs go for it. But Rob, I'm starting to really feel like that is the correct decision to make. I'm starting to turn into team take the points. Yesterday, they had 4th and goal from the 3-yard line. The Chiefs kicked a 21-yard field goal. That math changes the game. So the Chiefs take the field goal. The Falcons later on in the game, they choose to go for it. They don't get it. They could have been down 22-20 getting the ball with a chance to go do what they did to the Eagles. But you had to score a touchdown against a team that you were not having success against after your first drive. The Eagles potentially, we'd never know how it plays out. The Falcons potentially win that game if they are on team take the points. If they kick the field goal, the Chiefs go 3 and out, they get the ball back. The Falcons then have the ball at the end of the game. They have the ball first and 10 from the Atlanta 35 with 2 minutes and 35 seconds left. They score a field goal. I'm sorry. They go down the field. They kick a field goal. They win this game 23-22. The Falcons would have won if they were on Team Take the Points.
How much of Team Take the Points has shifted, though? Because you said this earlier when you were talking. It's not 2011 anymore. Carrington, we watched the NFL in 2011. Let's say you were on the 37-yard line. It was 4th and 3. That was a real decision. Am I going to kick a 54-yarder? That's a tough field goal. Or am I going to punt, or am I going to go for it? That's when this analytics revolution began to come in vogue. You started seeing it on NFL with the Sunday Night Football, like the go-for-it metrics. You started seeing all these things. But I think Andy Reid's been steadfast, but I think part of the equation here that we're forgetting with Team Take the Points is kickers are better now than ever.
100%.
So part of the Take the Points is in the past when you were on the fence about going for it, punting, kicking, it was you didn't know the field goal was a make. Now, not just the Chiefs, because Harrison Butker is very good, but most teams in the NFL, when they cross midfield, it's points.
Yeah.
Like, we saw, Brandon Aubrey hit a 60-plus yarder yesterday. Justin Tucker has been automatic his entire career. Harrison Butker. Youngway Koo yesterday was good. Like, I can name kicker after kicker after kicker. So I wonder if some of this, like, take the points, anti-going forward, it's not some sort of rash anti-analytics wave. I wonder if we're now living in an era where basically once you get three first downs, because the touchback happens at the 30, you're at, the 45-yard line? You're in points territory already, which is changing the calculus. I think kicker quality has changed the go-for-it points era a little bit, too.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, it's also not above the Chiefs' defense to give up a 98-yard drive. I've become weirdly defensive of the Chiefs' defense because I think their defense takes a lot of unnecessary arrows for a team and a unit that I think has proven that they are one of the better units in the National Football League. I don't know how you could really have issue too much with what the Chiefs have done defensively so far through the first three games of the season. Other than Lamar Jackson, no one has really hurt them offensively so far this year. And that was Lamar Jackson running the football. Derrick Henry didn't hurt him. Zay Flowers didn't hurt him. Jamar Chase didn't hurt them. Drake London didn't hurt them. Bijan Robinson. We have seen this defense over the course of the last 2 years basically shut down any and all comers. So I think that also plays into the point of take the points. I don't think the Chiefs feel like their opponent is going to consistently score more than 24 points. And if we can just figure out a way to get to 24, we are not losing. The Falcons had their chance to get to 24 points yesterday. They chose to go for it on fourth down. They lost because of it. I just hear all the time, well, that's what the math says. That's great. And I'm all for the math. Man, the math is a theory. It is on paper. We see these games played out in real life. And more times than not, the being aggressive and going for it on fourth down, man, those are teams that usually end up with heartbreaking defeats where, again, play by the book. Play by the book. They've been playing blackjack for a long time. They have come to an algorithm. This is how you should do it. And if you do it otherwise, sure, you can win sometimes. You will be a long-term consistent loser if that's how you do it. If all you bet is parlays, sure, sometimes you'll hit a parlay. More times than not, you are going to lose. And that is going to drain your bankroll. I'm telling you, the teams that are super aggressive going forward on fourth down and go against conventional wisdom of taking points, those are the teams that lost the way Atlanta lost yesterday. Atlanta wins that game if they kick two field goals. Now, we don't know how the Chiefs' last drive goes. Atlanta is in a much better position to win that game with two field goals and scoring one touchdown. That's just where we are in the NFL in 2024. Teams aren't scoring like that right now. Teams are not scoring that way. All right, coming up on the other side, let's talk a little bit of Royals baseball in the next segment, and we'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. I do think there is one thing that we can absolutely guarantee about the Royals. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. Let's talk a little bit of Royals here. Not too much, because it's a little crazy right now, honestly. I can't lie to you. It's a little crazy. All right, this is what I want to tell you guys. There is one thing that we know, I would say pretty definitively. The Tigers are making the postseason. All right? The Orioles are making the postseason, and the Tigers are making the postseason. If you are somebody that believes in momentum and a team that is trending in the right direction, there is no doubt about it with the Tigers that they have all of the momentum and that they are going to get one of the three available spots. So let's just go ahead and lock that up. All right. Now, maybe you disagree. You are well within your right to disagree. But I want you to answer me this. What about the way that the Royals have played would lead you to believe that they are going to outplay the Tigers over the next six games when the Tigers have the White Sox on the schedule? The Tigers feel like a team that are going 5-1 this week. I don't think that's what the Royals are doing. So again, you are allowed to disagree. I'm just telling you how I feel. The Tigers are making the postseason. And the Tigers are going to give the Orioles fits in that wild card round. So what does that mean for the Royals? That means there are two teams fighting for one spot. It is between you and the Twins. Can you be better than the Twins for the next 6 days? That's it. That's the take. That's it. That's literally the only thing that matters now is, can you be better than the Twins for the next 6 days? If you do that, you make the postseason. If you don't do that, you miss the postseason. But right now, the Royals and the Tigers have the same record. The Royals are not outplaying the Tigers. They have not done that for the last 6 weeks. The Royals are 2-8 in their last 10. The Tigers are 7-3 in their last 10 games. The Tigers are better than the Royals. Can the Royals be better than the Twins? They're one game up with six to go. That's what it comes down to. Seattle is not catching them. The Rays are not catching them. Can they be one game better than Minnesota? If they do that, they will go to Houston, and they will play them next Tuesday. If they are not, we're going to have some conversation about who they should fire. And I hate to sound so grim about it, because I am on the side of positivity about the Royals. I really am. You can't blow it in the month of September the way that they have and think that everybody is coming back. Now, everybody can't come back. That's not the way sports works in 2024. I'm not firing anybody. I'm just telling you how sports work. And if you have a 5.5-game lead the way that they have and you blow it in the final week of the season, somebody got to answer with their job. That's the way sports works. So maybe you fire the hitting coach. Maybe you fire the bullpen coach. Maybe the manager goes. Somebody got to go. I don't care who it is. You pick. But somebody's got to go. That is as simple as I can explain the Royals for the final six games. The Tigers, they're making the postseason. I don't know about the Royals. I don't know about the Minnesota Twins. Both of them are playing extremely poorly. The Twins could have been past the Royals. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. The Royals have left the door open, just like the Orioles have left the door open. The Tigers might catch the Orioles, how the Orioles have been playing. I don't want any parts of the Tigers right now. I'm serious. None. No parts of the Tigers right now. You want to play the Royals or the Twins. If you're Houston, oh, you're excited. You tell me that team's coming to our house with our pedigree, what we've done over the last decade, and we're going to play the Royals or the Twins? Whew. But, Rob, that is where we currently sit with the wild card standings.
I know we agreed on the show.
Hold on really quick. I'm sorry to cut you off because I said you. Text line 913-586-7965. I apologize. I got distracted. C-Dot, it's baseball. Anything can happen. The Royals could go undefeated during these next six games. You never know. My brother, You could be my sister. I don't know. Have you been watching the Royals? I don't even say that to sound condescending. Have you been watching the Royals?
To be fair, the Nats are three of those games, and the Nats are the 06 Royals. Remember that team where the Royals had to lose to get David Price? The Nats have that energy.
Rob, you know what? I don't even need to talk to that texter. I'll talk to you, my brother.
I wouldn't bet it, but I'm...
The Royals scored one time this weekend. One time. They scored one run in 27 innings of baseball. Since Bobby Witt Jr. hit the Grand Slam, they are hitting 197 as a team. Robbie Grossman is batting cleanup for the Royals right now. I'm not here telling you that they're not going to make the postseason. I'm telling you, if there's one thing I know, they are not winning all six of these games. No chance. Not the team that I've been watching. Not the team that I've been seeing fall apart. They've had a 7-game losing streak in the last 30 days and a 6-game losing streak. They look like the 06 Royals. So I don't care who they're playing. I don't care if they are playing the Savannah Bananas. I don't care if they're playing the Nationals, the White Sox. You cannot count anything with the way this Royals team has played over the last 3 weeks. So you can tell me the schedule and, oh, this team and, oh, they've quit. Nah, bruh. Not when you don't score one time over the course of a weekend. Not when you have fallen apart. I don't care. I'm past the schedule game with the Royals. We can play that with the Tigers. We can play that with the Astros. We can play that with the Twins. I'm done playing that game with the Royals. Every time we played the schedule game, they started losing. Remember we played that game in the spring. They had that stretch against the A's and the Marlins. They lost that stretch. Every stretch that they have had of bad teams that didn't consist of the White Sox, they've never taken advantage. They've put themselves in this position. There's no reason why in the last week of the season we should be stressing on whether or not they're going to make the postseason. Not with the way that Minnesota has collapsed. Minnesota and the Royals are fighting over who wants to miss the playoffs.
They're the Spider-Man meme.
No, you take it. No, you take it. They're fighting over who's going to miss the playoffs. And the Royals are happy to join them. If the Royals were just playing average right now, this wouldn't even be a conversation. Average. They haven't done that. So, no. No disrespect to this texter. Certainly no disrespect to you, Rob. I don't want to play the schedule game with the Royals anymore. I'm done with it. I'm over it.
I'm just saying, I know we're up against a break. Last time they lost 7 in a row, we had a lot of this, oh, they're screwed, sky is falling energy. They won 7 of their next 9. Baseball is a yin and yang sport. It's possible the yin is coming back to the yang or the yang to the yin, however you feel.
How are they scoring? That's all I ask you. How are they scoring?
Their MVP candidate needs to play like an MVP again.
Okay.
Yeah. Much like remember last year.
He tried to on Friday. He was the only one getting hits. On Friday, he had 3 hits. They had 5 as a team. You know what's happening right now? He plays for Bel Air Academy. That's who it is. Bobby Witt Jr. is Will Smith. And the rest of the team is those kids from Bel Air Academy. That's what it looks like to me. A gang of misfits around Bobby Witt Jr. He's doing everything he can to carry the rest of them to the postseason. And they're letting our guy down. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the Chiefs. They keep winning. The opposite of the Royals is the drive.